Then Rav Chalap, the book is called Mei Marom. That's the series of Rav Chalap's works. And this one is called Ori V'Yish'i. We say every morning and night nowadays, Le David, the psalm that David composed, Hashem Ori V'Yish'i. Hashem is my light, He is my salvation. Ori, He is my light on Rosh Hashanah. V'Yish'i, He is my salvation on Yom Kippur. So, in this chapter, we are going to discuss tshuva. And let's begin. Lamadnu bekidushin. In Tractate Kiddushin towards the end, page 40b, it says, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Omer. There's an interesting discussion there. A man engages a girl, and he says, I'll engage you on the condition that I'm a tzaddik. And then they discover that the guy has been a gangster his whole life. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second, maybe he did tshuva. How do you know? Is she engaged to him or not? She says, when I got engaged to you, I didn't know you were involved in identity theft and who knows what. And he says, but I did tshuva a minute before I got. But when I said it, I decided I'm no longer going back to those ways. And at that moment, I did tshuva. Boom, what do you do? It's Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Omer. Afilu rasha gamur kol yamav. Even if a person was completely wicked his whole life, v'asat tshuva ba'achona, and then at the end of his life he did tshuva, in mazkirin lo shuv risho. So in heaven they don't go back and say, but you did. No one mentions that he did tshuva. Shneimar, as the verse says, v'yushat rasha lo yikashel b'yom tshuva risho. The verse says, if a wicked person does real tshuva, so then it won't cause him to stumble. In the future, it won't even be mentioned. You see from that Gemara, the guy is at the end of his days and he's weak. So of course he's doing tshuva. What's he going to do? He can't do anything of the old stuff that he used to do. And he no longer even desires that. You know, that's a person can still do tshuva where it's not even mentioned. You say, but the guy doesn't have any desire left, right? And he could still do tshuva. And at first glance, that seems like that seems very difficult to understand. The Talmud says, you want to know what's a baal tshuva, master tshuva. Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, and this everyone knows it from the Rambam, but it's a Gemara. Kigon shebat liado dvar avera pam lishona v'shniya v'nitzal mimena. That he had a replay, deja vu, of the same scene, the same woman, the same excitement, the same everything, and he didn't do it. And then it happened the second time. He had another opportunity to do the exact same thing, and we don't stick ourselves into these challenges. But if it happens, and he stood up to the test, so then you know he was master tshuva. He did not fall twice. Machvi Rav Yehuda botai shabot operk botom makom. So Rav Yehuda, when he would teach this, he would signal the guys, we're talking about the same woman, so he's as excited about her. It's the same time of year, everything around could be it's the spring season, it could be it's an early night in the winter, whatever it is, it's the same location. Everything is set up so that he has the same test all over again. And he stands up to it. Hine nireh, you see from that Gemara, the kol zman shelo ba lidei nisyon nitzal mina einenu baal tshuva. Sounds like until you're faced with the challenge and you master it, you're not a master of tshuva. V'echza amal b'stam rashbi d'asat tshuva b'achonan maskinu l'sho b'li shum nisayon. So how did Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai say that if a person did tshuva at the end of his life, the woman's dead, it's like his sin is not mentioned. So I already answered it in the way I read it. This is called that his sins aren't mentioned. This is called a master of tshuva. Two different things. There's
regret is enough. Serious regret, sincere regret is enough for the first part.
Right. I'm saying those are two different things. Rav Pesin Zatzal used to say that it's a mistake that chozrim b'tshuva yeshivas call their students ba'alei tshuva. He said you could be chozer b'tshuva, ba'al tshuva. That's a totally different level to be a master of tshuva. He said that, yes.
Until you get. So, I mean, you combine the two things together.
Yeah, I hear. Vine.
Is this going by the classic definition of tshuva and not like Rav Kook and the Maharal?
Let's hear him. Let's hear him. Right now he's quoted Gemara. So far he hasn't explained anything yet. He's saying these are the two Gemaras. And one Gemara Rav Shimon bar Yochai says could be the end of a guy's days. It could be he's half dead. But if he did real tshuva, that's it. No one's going to mention his transgressions. Another Gemara Rabbi Yehuda says, you want to know what it means to master tshuva? It means you stood up to the test again. How do we reconcile the two? That's the question he's asked so far.
Just the first one, you real regrets, you're near the end of your life, you have to do as much as possible at least make restitution and that kind of thing. You think?
He didn't say that yet.
Concept, it sounds like.
Right.
Except the Hashem, right. The love, that you don't say sorry, you don't pay back the money, you don't whatever you're doing. Sounds strange.
Well, I'll put it differently.
You understand, you physically can't do something.
I'll put it differently. If the tshuva is real, if a person really regrets that he stole from his neighbor, then he'll do, then it's a derivative that he will do what he can't on doing. For sure.
That's huge. Okay.
For sure. Yes.
Is your sister that Remy cried over?
Yes.
I mean, that seems to contradict both.
Okay. Good question. We'll get there. Let's hear him out. It's a good question. You're right. Vinei.
Summarize
the question
or something?
Can I?
Briefly summarize his question.
His question?
No.
Rav Chalap says, in one place it says, it could be at the end of one's days he did tshuva, and then his transgressions won't be mentioned. Mm-hmm. Sounds like tshuva could be on a person's last day. In another place the Gemara says, a baal tshuva is one who was put to the test twice when they had opportunity and they didn't do it. Sounds like that's tshuva. Which one is it? Is it enough that a guy's on his deathbed and he does tshuva? Or does he really have to stand up to the test and that's tshuva? In the Gemara itself, one could have said, that when the Gemara says that at the end of one's days one can do tshuva, what the Gemara means is that one's remorse is so deep, one really, really regrets what they did, to the point where God says, I know. That if he were tempted again, it's true he hasn't had opportunity to show his tshuva. But the first Gemara you could have said is saying that his tshuva is so sincere, it's so real, that God is saying, I know that if they would try to tempt him again, he would stand up to it this time. Even if he still had his strength, he would stand up to the test. And then that would mean that the first Gemara is really quantifying the second Gemara. So that when Rav Yehuda says you have to be able to stand up to the same test another two times, Rav Yehuda doesn't mean you have to actually test yourself. Rav Yehuda doesn't mean a person has to find himself in that challenge. You know, Reish Lakish was ready to violate, he thought it was a woman crossing the Jordan. Suddenly he discovers it's Rabbi Yochanan. He says, shucks, you're a man. Now, did Reish Lakish ever have that test again? It doesn't sound like it. He went into Beis Medrash. Where does he run into that again, right? He went and learned Torah. So his tshuva was complete, it says in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. He did a complete tshuva, Reish Lakish. So it doesn't mean a person has to face the challenge again. It means the tshuva deep down inside has to be such that had he faced the challenge again, he would have stood up to it. The Gemara doesn't have to mean you have to literally face the challenge again. What it means is that in heaven, God says, I testify on this person that if he were faced with the challenge again, he would never do it again. That's how we might have interpreted the Gemara, but he's going to say that's not the right interpretation of the Gemara. Yes?
Is that not literally the same test twice? But even the concept of once you've passed the test once, you can achieve it. Why not the second test should be harder?
I'll tell you, this is a nice concept. I once heard a speech, someone quoted Nechama Leibovitz, that she said that a recurring theme in Tanakh is that people stand up to a test, and then Hashem gives them an identical test the second time. And the idea is that we think that if we stood up to a test once, then the next time is going to be easy. And it's not true. To stand up to the same test two and three times requires stamina. And it doesn't necessarily mean you can do it. Yes? You're fair.
And then when you think you're solid, sometimes when you get basically get right. So much worse.
And you let your legs all the way down, and you think you're beyond that. Happens. You mentioned it here. People that are doing fine here, you go back for 2 weeks or something. You know, yeah, you didn't have to go to the beaches of Tel Aviv here, but Jones Beach, I don't know.
Don't they say like three times is a chazaka? But it could also be two times would make it a chazaka. Two times would basically be right, and then the third time it's already a chazaka.
Okay. Let's hear him out. Ulami Rishona Rambam Zal. But from the Rambam, when the Rambam discusses tshuva, lo mashmachet, it doesn't sound that way from the Rambam. Because after the Rambam writes in the first halacha, you know what's a complete tshuva? Complete tshuva is where a person has the opportunity to do the transgression again, and he has the capacity, and he does not. And then the Rambam writes, if you only did tshuva when you're an old man, so then even though it's not the ideal tshuva, it's still a tshuva that benefits a person, and he is still called a baal tshuva. And after he writes that, in the first halacha, he writes, you know what tshuva is? Step one, stop doing what you did wrong. Stop doing the transgression. And remove it from your thoughts. Yeah, that's a very important thing. You have a guy who says, I'm not going to do that anymore, but his mind is still there. Rambam says, part of step one is, I'm not going to do it, and I'm not going to think about it. And a person has to decide, I'm never doing this again. You know, I find that to be a difficult thing. One of the things I try to do to develop myself is in Slach Lanu, I pause, and I think about the things I regret doing, and I say, I'm sorry I did A or B or C. And as I say it, I ask myself, am I going to do it again? And it's very hard to say, no, I'm not going to do that again. Really. Someone came to tell you Lashon Hara. So you say, I feel bad I listened. Am I sure I won't do it again? And then you have to stop, and you have to work on yourself, and you have to bring yourself to a point where you say, I shouldn't do that again, right? I shouldn't do that again. It's not, you know, it's much, it sounds easy. It's not, if you're honest with yourself, it's not easy.
It's very hard. Well, you say, you can only say, I'll do my best. I'll try.
Or you could say, you know what the Rebbe of Chabad said? I didn't see it inside, but I heard it quoted, that the Rebbe of Chabad said, you have a person who feels bad that they did something wrong. And then you have a person who feels bad that they don't feel bad that they did something wrong. And then you have a person who feels bad that they don't feel bad that they don't feel bad that they did something wrong. And the Rebbe of Chabad is quoted that if you're two away, you're a tzaddik. If you feel bad, yes. That you don't feel bad, that you don't feel bad that you did something wrong, then you're a tzaddik. That's what the Rebbe of Chabad is quoted as having said.
The soldier, the famous Western World War graduate who felt bad that he couldn't cry. Beautiful. I mean, you know, again, right, because you're right. That's just the way I got. Forget it. You ain't going anywhere.
Right? I didn't hear you.
Then
you're better than a tzaddik if you're less than two-way. If it's real.
But then
the question is it real? The difficulty here is honesty. Meaning it's very easy to say, I feel bad I did something. But the test is, can I really say, I'm not doing it again? How bad do I really feel? I'm not going to think about it again. How many times do people see something they shouldn't have seen? And then they say, I shouldn't have done that. And then they even say, I'm going to try not to do it again. Am I going to not think about it? Do I regret? Do I really? Where am I there? You know, meaning, that's a totally different idea. Now, if I'm honest, that's what Rav Chalat began with. If my remorse is real, then isn't it obvious that I don't want to think about it? Isn't it obvious that I'm not going to do it again? The problem is, how real is our remorse?
But your plan, when you know if you're really doing that third thing, where you feel bad that you feel, don't feel bad, is what's your plan you're going to do about it? Because if it's just a feeling and it stays at that, it's very, very unlikely. It's like walking in Yom Kippur, you know, a day
or before Beit Rosh Hashanah, and that is possible. But at that moment, I'm not going to do X, X, X without any plan, any idea. I, you know, it's the David Melech. Who does God answer? Those who call on sincerely.
But this is all
it's a more no.
I think
I don't know. I
something is better than nothing.
No, so I want to address this.
Without any battle plan.
No, I disagree. Okay, I'll explain why. There's definitely truth to what you're saying. There's definitely truth that on the practical level, you have to have a game plan. But we have to remember that there's the general. It's not just the that one. If we're going to take the battle plan analogy, you have a scenario where you say, I have an enemy that's developing this type of missile, so I have to develop either through an anti-missile or through, I have to develop a way that will take down that missile. That's your example. I have a specific threat, I have a specific weakness, I'm going to develop a specific game plan to deal with that.
Or your example, with the guy has, he looks where he should look.
Let's stay with the military for a second. But then you have a government that says, I'm going to make my army 10 times better. I'm going to take a much larger budget and hire much better professionals, and I'm just going to advance the whole army.
That's a plan.
So sometimes on Rosh Hashanah, what happens is there's the elevation of the person as a whole. You ask a person, how are you going to ensure you're not going to do A or B or C? I have no idea. But I have come to a closer place with the Ribbon Shalom. So I'm elevating the whole army.
I
wouldn't put down. You're saying it's not sincere. No. I'm saying don't say it's not sincere.
I'm saying if right now, you know, the whole thing is just, there's nothing to it. I'm going to work on our sword. Yes, it's still possible. And yeah, so you have great faith. Hashem will uplift you. Night of Pesach, uplift you. You'll be a new person afterwards. It's possible. But is that recommended? It's like they say, doing tshuva.
You need both. You need both.
Yes.
You need both.
You have to assume that you're knowing everything in yourself already to start with. And you can't know everything.
You're right.
If you know there's a specific threat,
I asked it because it was confusing to me. I don't have a pat answer.
But that's why I don't want to say it's not sincere. It could be very sincere.
Yes!
And a person could walk away on a higher level. And then the trick is to try and hold it on to it. And sometimes, I'll give another example. A guy comes in off the street, and you meet him at the Kotel. It's Shabbos morning. And he has his cell phone on him, and he's smoking a cigarette, and he puts on one of these yarmulkes, and he asks you how to read the Siddur, and you invite him for a Shabbos meal. And he comes to your Shabbos table, and you ask him before he comes, you're not sure if you should ask him to put out the cigarette. That's one type of Chil Shabbos, right? He's making a call. On the other end, you don't want him to come to the house smoking a cigarette on Shabbos. Okay, you get around it. He comes to your Shabbos table. You eat the meal. You sing. He's inspired. And the Shabbos grabbed him. Did he decide he's going to stop smoking cigarettes on Shabbos? No. Did he decide anything? No. But he walks away a different person.
Great. Wonderful.
And that's why I'm saying Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the inspiration is real.
Fair.
Okay, back to Rav Chalab.
That wasn't an idea for Rav Chalab? Derech Agav?
No. They took me off on tangents until now.
Can I ask a question, or is it just want to be on?
Both you can ask, and if it's a tangent, then we have to get on.
Okay, so when you said the person has to work on himself, is that like a thing you're, the person's trying to convince himself? Meaning, like, he believes X, but in order to work, because I understand I'm fairly constantly working on yourself, but so what does that actually mean? Does that mean like you're trying to fool yourself in a way? Like, okay, I actually really do this, but okay, let's just try to push myself that way and really make myself understand.
Okay, so I'll say differently. Again, let's begin from the mundane world, and then we'll move on to our world, our spiritual world. If you take a guy, you sit down in a classroom, close the doors, we sit down, we start singing some Karl Bach songs, And then we stop for a minute and we talk about our goals. And one guy says, I want to lose 10 pounds. And then you ask the guy, when we finish class, should you go out and eat ragalach? And the guy says, no. And then you finish class and he heads right down to Angels and buys himself 10 ragalach. Wait a second. You ask him, hey, buddy, didn't you just say you want to lose 10 pounds? Yeah. Didn't you just say you shouldn't be eating those ragalach? He says, didn't you smell them? He says, I walked out of class. I just smelt Angel's bacon ragalach. It was like, he said, when I was in class, you asked me, that's who I was. Yeah, that's what I want. But I walked out of class. I could smell Angel's ragalach. So I went and I bought myself some ragalach. So he said, wait a second. Are you sincere? Are you for real? Of course I'm for real. So then why are you eating the ragalach? Because they tempt me. Okay. Now let's shift. You walk into shul, Shabbos morning, a guy sits down and says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. I'm talking about a good Shabbos, where he slept well the night before, he showed up to shul on time, he's focused, and he says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. You ask him, are you for real? Yes. Do you want to do what Hashem says? Of course, I just told you, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Great. Then how come you walk down to eat the Shabbos meal, and you take your tea bag and you squeeze it out, isn't that so hate? And you take a comb and you comb your hair, aren't you tearing out hairs? And you take the chulent and you start taking out the bones to throw out, isn't that porer? What is it? Yeah, you're right. I was into eating the chulent at that moment. I wasn't thinking about the other stuff. At that moment, I was very heated over the chulent. And the guy sat down next to you, and you suddenly threw a crack about the guy at the other end of the room. Right, because that moment I had the urge to say a crack about the other guy. But you want to know what I really believe in? Come to me when I say Kriya Shema Hashem this morning. When we say we're saying we're fooling ourselves the rest of the time, catch me when I'm not tempted, I'll tell you who I am. Catch me when I am tempted, so how come I'm eating all those ragalach? I'm tempted, that's not who I am. You have to catch me when I'm not tempted. What we're trying to do is, and this is a drasha saran, earlier, one of his earlier speeches, he says, when Chazal say, the woman cheated on her husband, and she slept with the neighbor, the sota, the person doesn't transgress unless some foolishness overtook him. So the Ran says, what do you mean? They plotted it, they planned it, they waited till the husband went on a business trip, they knew what they were doing, where they were doing. What do you mean they were overtaken by foolishness? The Ran says, because any person, if you take them away from temptation and you talk to them about their values, they'll tell you, I don't believe I should be doing that. I know what I believe in and I shouldn't do that. But we have periods or moments where we're overtaken by... we have free will, but the desire drags us to be foolish in the sense that we ignore what we really believe in. What we're trying to do in the tshuva process, and that's why we call it tshuva, we want to come back to our natural real self, where we live the life that we believe we should be living. I want to come back. And every person deep down inside wants to. Coming back to Rav Chala. Okay. Mashma, so the Rambam writes in the second halacha that tshuva is when a person stops transgressing, removes it from his thoughts, and decides I'm not doing it again. And then he regrets over what he did in the past. And then God will testify he's never going to do this again. So from the Rambam it seems that a tshuva where Hashem testifies that he's never doing it again, that's basic tshuva. You want to know what tshuva is? Tshuva is, I'm not doing it again, I regret it, I'm not thinking about it, I'm not doing it again. And even so, it sounds like the Rambam saying there's a higher level of tshuva, and that is that a person has the challenge again and he stands up to it. So the Rav Harlap says from the Rambam, it doesn't sound like the two are synonymous. The Rambam separates them. We would have said, maybe when the Gemara says you stand up to the challenge again, that means that God knows you would have stood up to the challenge. But the Rambam doesn't sound like that. The Rambam sounds like elementary tshuva is, I'm not doing it again. God knows I'm not doing it again. That's called, I finished the tshuva over this transgression. What's an amazing tshuva? What's baal tshuva? That's when a person was challenged again and he stood up to the test. And again, we're not allowed to challenge yourself. You don't put yourself there. But if it happened. So that's the question he raises. How come this is called an okay tshuva and this is called, are they arguing these two opinions? Rambam quotes both of them. So that's where we're holding. Oh, he was first. Ephraim was waiting, sorry.
Sorry,
yeah.
Of course. Sorry, Ephraim.
There's an interesting thing in the ordering there. It says first you think about exalted two and then you regret. So it seems like the process of analysis and fixing is before the regret, not actually regret it and then.
Right.
The thought has to go out of the emotion, not the emotion going out of the thought.
I would say that the order of the Rambam, where you leave the transgression, you stop thinking about it, and you regret the past, it could be you can't reach an honest regret for the past without those two. That's what I thought. It's not the order I would have thought, right? But I'm saying it is a very logical order if you analyze it, I think.
I agree. Yeah. This is interesting.
Yes?
Just a little bit on what you answered with Mir. If everybody, seems to be the case, is created, if they're in touch with themselves, to want to know what the right thing is and to do it, God made us godly, right? Aren't we judged by how we perform when tempted? I mean, that's, you know.
But we don't challenge ourselves. We're not supposed to challenge ourselves.
No, Hashem is giving us the challenges that we can theoretically pass. And if we slip, we fall, we rise. But the idea is not to I don't think, what's the point of being in this life if there's no temptation to do wrong, whether it's Moshe Rabbeinu on his level or a guy who decides to, you know, stick the knife in you after he mugs you or not. But mugging you was never a tempt, the challenge. He was going to mug you. So at any level, but the idea of how we perform when tempted, that answered what you were saying in before when you tried to talk to people and evaluate people and where they're holding and how difficult it is. Right. I mean, one of the things is, what do you do when you're on that business trip and the wife isn't there? What do you do when you're thing? I mean, that's or when you have this food that is quasi kosher, you're not starving, but do you wait a meal? I mean, that's how we elevate and descend all the time, I would think. So temptation is
What's the question?
No, I'm saying is that just to say, you know, everybody's essence is pure, and we shouldn't welcome the temptations. No, you don't push yourself for more than Hashem wants to give you. But we should look at these challenges as the opportunities. We should be thankful for them.
I would say more than that. That one of the keys to standing up to a challenge is defining it as that.
Meaning you say this is the most
important
thing.
But once you tell yourself, this is where I have an opportunity to realize my potential. This is my mitzvah. Your wife yells at you, and she's wrong for yelling at you. She embarrasses you in front of everyone. And you're sitting there, and you feel like answering her. And then you tell yourself, this is my opportunity to do mitzvah. How many times couples have a fight on the night the wife goes to mikvah? And I get a phone call where the husband or the wife says, I'm not interested in being intimate with my partner. She goes to mikvah, there's a biblical mitzvah to be intimate, and I'm not interested after the way he spoke, she spoke, whatever it is. So I always say, you have an opportunity now to do a mitzvah. Until now, you were doing it maybe because you had lust or desire. Now, you're given a golden opportunity to do it for the sake of the mitzvah. I'm saying that's, I think that's a phenomenal concept. Once you define it as such, you tell yourself, I'm not, I have the challenge, this is my opportunity to do mitzvah. What did I come to this world for? Your wife just yelled at you and embarrassed you in front of everyone. You want to answer her. Can you define it for yourself? Am I going to do mitzvah now or not? If you're small-minded, the way we generally are, then what you're thinking is, she put me down, I'm going to answer. I'm not going to sit here and take that sitting down. Come on, what's life about? That's the meaning of life? But if you tell yourself, wait a second, everything's about doing mitzvahs. This is what I'm living for. Now I have an opportunity to do a mitzvah. So if you view, the second you define it as that, you can do it. I'll give another example. The alarm clock rings, and you look at it, and you say, that's crazy. Class last night went till 2 in the morning, and now I'm supposed to get out of bed? Nah. But if you say, this is my first mitzvah of the morning. Am I going to stand up to this? Then you bet I am. It's a question of how I define it. Sometimes just defining the challenge as this is what I'm here for. Am I going to live up to that or not? That definition gives a tremendous amount of strength. Once you define it as that. Back to our... And there's a Gemara that gives us this concept, right? The Gemara says if Reuven would have known that the Torah would record that he's saving Yosef, he wouldn't have just said, I'll come back at night and take him out of the pit. He would have scooped up Yosef, the 17-year-old giant, put him on his shoulders, and ran home with him. Meaning, if we only can connect to that idea, this is the moment, this is my test, this is where I can stand up to my potential, that gives us the strength. Or in the words of Rabbi Zelig Pliskin, imagine you're at the stadium and there are 50,000 fans. And if you're going to do this mitzvah, you're going to get a standing ovation. Everyone will stand up and clap and you're going to be the hero. Can you imagine? Can you for a minute imagine all around everyone's watching? You're going to do it right. Everyone's going to clap. Ah, now I have the koch to do it. Can I imagine that doing the right thing will give me that kind of reward? But that's, again, it's all saying the same thing in different ways. It's being able to realize that I'm given an opportunity now to live up to my ideals, a golden opportunity. Back to Rav Chalap.
Why do you make that equation?
It's all the same idea. It's all ways of reminding ourselves that what I'm doing now is important in my spiritual life and my life of values. This is my opportunity to live up to my values. Right. A person shouldn't think, says Rav Chalap, that doing tshuva to the degree that a person regrets what he did so much that Hashem will testify he's never doing that again, a person shouldn't think that's easy, says Rav Chalap. Right? That's what we were discussing earlier. Because even if we'll say, what?
Who thinks that's easy?
Even if we'll say, sometimes people are tempted. Only people who do real tshuva realize that's not easy. The Lechem Mishnah over there says that what it means is that when a person does tshuva, he has to accept that he has to accept, like a declaration to Hashem, I'm never doing this again. That's the idea. It's not just that Hashem testifies. It's that it's as though he's saying to Hashem, Rabon Shalom, you will see, I'm going to live up to this. I'm never doing that again. And it's not like the little boy who says, I'm never doing that again. No, it's real. We're adults. This is, but nonetheless, says Rav Chalap, it has to be that a person regrets so much in the time of tshuva that if he could hold on to that sentiment, what's the problem? That you forget that sentiment. But if he could hold on to that, he would never do it again. Meaning, Rav Chalap says, what happens? A person does tshuva and he really, really regrets it. And he really says, I'm never going to do it again. And then 2 years later, he forgets about that tshuva. And then 3 years later, he's faced with the challenge again and he falls. Does that mean that his tshuva was fake? Says Rav Chalap, no. What it means is if you could hold on to that emotion long term, then you wouldn't. But says Rav Chalap, but don't think that's easy either. To reach a point where you really regret something to the point where if you were given the opportunity to do it again right now, you wouldn't do it because you really, really regret it. Not because you feel like you're a hypocrite, but because you really regret it, right? Those are two different things. They're standing here saying, Rabon Shalom, I regret it. I really regret it. I wish I would have never done it, and I'm never going to do it again. Which, by the way, is very, very hard. I'm telling you in all honesty, I don't know if I ever did it right. I don't know.
You mean what, because of Hashem, you're saying?
I don't know. Because it's very hard to be able to say, I was able to look back at something I did wrong, and I said, I regret it, I wish I would have never done it, and I'm never going to do it again. Have I ever reached that level of remorse? I don't know. I'm being honest with you. I don't know. It's a very deep level. Meaning you can say, if I were given the opportunity to do it again, I wouldn't do it because I elevated myself, because I see things differently, because I hopefully I'm on a level where I could overcome that temptation, because I feel like a hypocrite after I did tshuva to do it again. But that's not this point. This point is, I value that it's wrong, I value that God said no and I shouldn't have done it, and I regret it so much that if I were given the opportunity to do it again, I wouldn't do it because I regret it. Not because I'm a hypocrite or I don't want to be a hypocrite or because now I'm on a higher level, but because I regret it. That's real tshuva. But that's, as Rav Chalap, that's very, very hard.
It's like you're adverse to doing something strictly because it's a mitzvah as opposed to what your personal benefit might be or
that's also hard. That's also hard. I'm just saying in the realm of tshuva, Rav Chalap is saying this is hard. You think I'm giving you leniency because I'm saying you can't hold on to regret your whole life on that level where the regret will hold you from doing what's wrong. That's true. You don't need to, says Rav Chalap. But you do have to get to that level where at the moment of tshuva you wouldn't do it because of your regret. And that's hard. Don't think that I've given I've made it real easy.
Should
it
get to?
You cannot be at a point. If you're a healthy adult, you're not going to walk around saying, oh, I regret I did that a year. I regret I did that 10 years ago. I regret I did that 30 years ago. You can't walk around with that feeling.
Okay.
But at the moment that you're focused on doing tshuva, you do have to reach a level where your regret is so sincere that if you were given the challenge to do it again, you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it because you regret it. Not because you're saying, I'm a hypocrite if I do it. Not because you're saying, I'm not tempted by that anymore. I'm on a higher level. No. The level of regret has to be so sincere that I'm not going to do it again. That is very hard. And I'm telling you, I don't know if I ever got there. You try, but that's very hard.
Isn't it all dependent on your level of munah? Like if a person has a higher level of munah, it would be way more acute.
I agree. The root of all of this is emunah. I agree. The more you can connect to the idea that Hashem Echad, that there's only one purpose in this world, and Hashem created the world, and I'm supposed to do what He wants, the more I can connect to regretting when I didn't do it. I agree. It all comes back to that question. Agreed. And that's why the answer to Aviel is so important, that when you can elevate yourself in other areas of coming close to Hashem, you've elevated everything. And that has value. I would say both.
That's why I won't do it again, because of the regret is used. And at the same time, you can't walk around. It's totally unhealthy, I regret, right? Because falling the first time or the second time or whatever you did before you did the tshuva is who made you who you are. Because if you know what I'm saying, which so it is, right? I mean, otherwise you're going to be schizophrenic. You're going to hate yourself for what you did before you regret.
So the truth is, I should have introduced the class and said that no one can attend this class if they weren't in last night's class. That's the truth. Because last night we had a whole class on self-esteem and the importance of waking up in the morning and saying, I am important. I am a good person. And the world is going to be a pitiful place without me. The world is very lucky to have me around. That was step one. Yes, you missed the class last night. And then we went on to step two. Hashem loves me. And then we went on to step three of Hashgacha, that I'm living in this world in exactly the scenario Hashem knew was right for me, even though I had to put up with all kinds of abuse and difficulties and all kinds of challenges in my past. This is how Hashem planned it for me. When I could have that positive, healthy self-image. Boy, are you lucky I'm here today. Right? Sounds arrogant. No, it's healthy. If a person can really have that, then he can start doing tshuva. If tshuva is, oh no, I'm terrible, I can't believe I did that, then tshuva is self-destructive, and that's why we titled the class Tshuva, Make Me, Don't Break Me. Tshuva has to be a process of growth and being positive. If I can be positive, then I can work with tshuva. If tshuva is going to make me depressed and negative, then I'm not holding there. Then I can't deal with that right now. Tshuva, that's, you're right, that we should have introduced class with that. And I return to the point which we've said in the past, and that is that for our generation, the major point of tshuva is not regret, and it's not undoing the past, and it's not all the things that we're discussing here. The major point is being positive about building the future. And through being positive about building the future, we can, as we've discussed, elevate and ultimately fix the past. But you have to work forward. You can't work backwards. We're out of time. So